This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kick off another week here on the show. Hey, everybody. I'm Kate Delaney. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Ransomware, that is the conversation we're having across this country. And COVID-19, mask on, mask off. Take that for people who criticize Texas. That's another conversation. We'll get into that in a second. The CDC new mask guidance, the questions, the confusion, and let's set it's straight. But let's start with ransomware first, because so many of you filled up the mailbag with questions about the hackers and what was next and ransomware attacks and how you anticipate what's happening there and how do you stop this kind of a crisis. Hackers have hit all kinds of things, whether it's hospital networks. We saw that in Ireland, major infrastructure installations all over the place, big box stores like Target, public schools, you know, you name it. But this gas attack, the Colonial Pipeline, one of the worst, 5,500-mile pipeline from Houston all the way to New Jersey. You know some of the deets on this because we've been talking about it a lot. The big impact is in D.C. You had like 80% of gas stations that don't have any gas. No gas. Virginia, struggling. The Carolinas, struggling. A lot of places in the Northeast and the Southeast really hit hard by this. Now, of course, Colonial Pipeline paid the ransom, and the pipeline is operational. It's moving slowly, but there will be gas again at these stations. But it caused a panic, and massive lines formed at the pump and around the block and down the block after that and the block across from that. So just kind of a reminder, too, to people who were crazed with this, thinking, you know, I got to have gasoline. They were putting gas in plastic bags. They were trying to hoard gasoline at the pumps, too. It's just crazy. And then, you know, the whole word that trickled out was, oh, don't panic, don't worry. It's, you know, we'll be back online. It'll be fine, you know, da-da-da-da. And these deadlines of anticipated deadlines of this is what when this is happening. And of course, there was a big push to do whatever they could to get it going. But once it's shut down that way, it takes a while, as anybody in the oil business would tell you, to get it moving again and then get the deliveries and the jet fuel and everything else in between. So it does make you think what's next. And right away, what is everybody saying? Power grid. What if the power grid goes out? What if, what if? There's a lot of those conversations that I think should have happened way before this. We had them on this show. I know other people talked about them. We've had hacks galore. We've had lots of cybersecurity people on to talk about different aspects of it. I mean, top-notch people who are working with the government, who are working with some of these big companies and are having success with it, but wasn't successful when it came to the Colonial Pipeline. And who's targeted? I mean, where are the weak spots? And I think part of it is knowing who's going to pay. Who gets the insurance for it? Who has that list, that secret list, that some of these hackers, I think, are aware of? Huge. I mean, absolutely. Because of what it can do and how it can take us down. Look around you, people. Especially so many people working from home. So you're not even at a network, at a building somewhere, where somebody has a great IT guy or IT staff that are flying around the building trying to figure it out. Which might not work anyway. But with so many people working from home, there's the vulnerability, I think, shoots up even more. And yes, people have gone back to buildings. People have gone back into cities, but not everybody. There's more working from home now, more than ever. Got to catch these hackers. That's the other part of it. Trying to catch these hackers. They're so elusive. It's always a big story when you catch a hacker, right? But it's usually on a much smaller scale. They're very, very, very clever. All right, there's a lot of confusion about when you can wear a mask and when you shouldn't wear a mask and what, you know, what if you're fully vaccinated? And finally, I think we're pretty straight on it, although lots of states and cities and suburbs and rural areas have different timelines. Like Washington, they're going to lift capacity limits and some of the other restrictions they have for businesses and public spaces. That happens at 5 a.m. on Friday. Restrictions on nightclubs, though, sports stadiums, entertainment venues greater than 2,500 people lifted June 11th. So they're waiting a little bit longer. He's still governor for now. But New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced on Monday that the state's going to adopt the CDC guidelines, not going to require masks, social distancing for vaccinated people starting on Wednesday. So outdoor dining curfew, capacity guidelines, done. You're going in, you're a bridge and tunnel person, you're going into Manhattan, you're listening to me in Connecticut, you can eat wherever you want. But will people really pour back in? I think there will be people that pour back in. Indoor food, beverage curfew lifted May 31st. May 31st. Cuomo said the whole point of the CDC's change is to say to people there are benefits to being vaccinated. So now that's what the reversal is? So, if you didn't get vaccinated, wear your mask everywhere you go. And what are the odds that people who aren't vaccinated aren't going to say, well, everyone around me is vaccinated. Who's going to know if I'm vaccinated or not? I'm not carrying some card. Are vaccinated people showing cards? No. Are they required to show cards? No. And that would be a whole other can of worms if we talk about that. So, yes, Cuomo saying unvaccinated people should still wear masks and masks will still be required of all people on public transit. In schools and in some communal settings. Private venues can be stricter, and I think some private venues will be stricter because they're worried. They're worried that, do we feel comfortable with this? Do we know that this is the right thing or not? Speaking of the right thing, the governor of Texas was really slammed about COVID, meaning the lifting restrictions, thinking that he lifted them too early. So 2 months after the president, and he did, because he was asked about it, he said it was Neanderthal thinking that Texas did what they did, Governor Greg Abbott, in saying that, okay, we can lift some of this, we're opening some things up, that kind of stuff. But what was interesting is the case numbers, 388 as of late Sunday, lowest in 13 months. No new deaths. Number of hospitalizations, lowest point in 11 months. Right? And look how that worked. So on the cusp of, they say in Texas, of fundamentally changing the nature of the disease because of the way that they're able to get vaccines in people's arms and the way that they were able to also, in Abbott's case, saying people could go out and there were things that people were mixing together and that helped all of that. So, I don't know. There's still a tug of war of what worked, what didn't work, and who those arrows were aimed at. I'll meet you on the flip side.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max. and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Talk about, including Elon Musk. Wonder if he's licking his wounds. He got bumped. Yeah, he dropped in the rankings as far as tumbling on down. He fell to, he held the top spot in the Bloomberg's Billionaires Index as recently as March. Now he has a fortune of $160.6 billion. That's down 24% from the January high. I know, you're all feeling very sad for him, right? That follows a turbulent period for Musk, who sent Bitcoin tumbling 15% last week after posting a statement on Twitter that Tesla was no longer accepting the digital currency as payment. Yeah. Instead, he's got his own coin that he's hawking. So that was the end of Bitcoin, and he has slipped down in the rankings. So if you look at the Bloomberg Wealth Index, it means that he's now number three in some cases, number four in other cases. In a couple of the rankings, he's number five, I guess. That's so crazy, isn't it? Who cares, right? I mean, if you're in the top five, that kind of money that I just said, oh, it's like, what is it when you have that much money? Honestly, it's like funny money to me, right? It's funny money. But it does matter. It's that whole, you know, size matters. So I'm a billionaire, and this is where I'm at. And this is where I want everybody to know I'm at. How about this? A $100 million bet on cross-country restaurant delivery. What are the odds of that, right? So when the pandemic started last spring, one of New York City's storied pizza joints had the same question as a lot of other restaurants. How would it make money, any money, when customers weren't allowed through its doors? So guess what they did? This was so smart. So many places did this. My favorite pizza place, no offense to DeFaria, which I've never had DeFaria pizza in New York City, but I like a place some of you in the Midwest may know called Lou Malnati's, and they do the same thing. They ship their pizza. You can be in Iowa. You can be in Connecticut. You can be in New Orleans and have it shipped to you. So the example of DeFaria and New York City is that they shipped so many pies. Sales picked up so much, they converted their two-year-old second location into a food hall, like a production line. So they came up with an agreement that that's what they were going to do. And they that helped them avoid layoffs. So people that would normally be working in the restaurant helped put all the pies together. And they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people ordering. The influx was crazy, quadrupled sales over 12 months. They raised money, you know, millions in new funding, $100 million in new funding. And it's worked. They've been able to do it. And I mentioned Lou Malnati's. That's another great example of how they can ship it. Texas-style brisket from the Salt Lick in Austin. That's been shipped all over the place. So, yeah, what do you do when you're in a pandemic and lockdown? You want to feel good, right? So you want to get your favorite food, and you just, who cares? You have it flown to you. Like in New Orleans, the Parkway Bakery and Tavern. Same thing. Shipping the boxes, getting it out to people who wanted to have the food, which is good news for the people who work there because that helps so many people stay employed by being able to come up with that quickly. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll turn instead, this will have to turn our thinking around, and we'll figure out a way to make this happen. Right? So, we go from shipping pies and feel good food to how do you live to be 111 years old? That's a big number. Australia's oldest man says eating chicken brains is one of his secrets to being 111. He's a retired cattle rancher, Dexter Kruger. And it's been 124 days since he turned 111. He's a day older than World War II vet Jack Lockhart was when he died in 2002. So in an interview that he did in Queensland, he said that that's part of it. He said, you know, chickens have a head, and in there's a brain, and they're delicious little things. There's only one little bite. So that's what he does. He's in a nursing home, and they say his memory is amazing, that he's one of the sharpest people in there. One of the sharpest people. Wow. 111. What would it be like to be 111? I mean, all that knowledge, all the things that you've seen, the things that he has seen, the warp speed of technology now, and what it used to be like, nothing. Not even a little bit like the world is now and how fast it moves. Lightning fast. Governor Cuomo is still governor of New York. And it's probably served him well. Because in the Cha-Ching Factor, he's written a book called American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. It was written during the first few months of the pandemic. He's going to get 5.1 million. Uh-huh. Last year he reported earnings of 3.21 million for the book, an additional 1 million payments over the next 2 years. I mean, they have, you know, the taxes and all of that's released. So he released it. Wow. And then some of the money was donated to the United Way of New York. The remaining money, like a million something, in a trust for the three daughters. Oh, that's good. I mean, look, he's dodging questions at his coronavirus briefings in the last couple of months in relation to the book deal. But you can't, I mean, now it's out there. You have to, it has to be said. So it is. The New York State Comptroller has formally asked the New York State Attorney General's office to look into whether Cuomo committed an offense related to his book, because now that's the other thing they're talking about. He's been the subject of countless allegations of misconduct from current and former staffers, in addition to the claims that he misused state resources to complete the book. So that's being looked into. That public resources may have been used in the development of the governor's book. He's not getting a break, and he's not resigning. He says he didn't do anything wrong. That he didn't do it. And that he got permission from state ethics commissioners last year to write the book. That he had conditions. He had to write the book on his own time, not on state time. Not on state property, personnel, or other resources. Couldn't have been used either to do it. Oh, well. So, how many people are going to read the book? Is it going to be a bestseller? Is it going to, are enough people going to read it that that advance, that money that he was given, pays off for the publishers? I think at the beginning of the pandemic, absolutely, it would have paid off. But now, because of these investigations and what's starting to turn up, we'll see when it comes to the actual end of this investigation. I love this story. The world is home. I love birds. The world, the kind you see outside. I don't have a caged bird, but you know what I'm talking about. The world is home to 50 billion birds. The University of New South Wales, we've interviewed people from there, they're saying that there are about six times as many birds on the planet as humans. So 50 billion individual birds. And you look at the population numbers, 10,000 species from, you know, the kookaburra to penguins, all kinds of birds. In fact, there's a great source if you like birds and this whole bird watcher phenomenon. It's maybe it's not a phenomenon. It's been around forever, but more people are talking about it now. Go to eBird. Because they show all the citizen projects, and it's pretty cool, the information. But, wow, 50 billion individual birds. That's wacky. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden announced Monday that the U.S. will add to its donation of COVID vaccines to the rest of the world, adding 20 million more doses to the country's commitment. The president said that over the next 6 weeks, the U.S. will send 80 million doses of vaccine overseas. It's unclear, though, which countries will be receiving the shots. Former President Donald Trump will return to the political spotlight next month when he speaks at the North Carolina State Republican Convention on June 5th. His last significant public speech was at the CPAC convention in February. And the national average price of a gallon of gas has reached its highest point in the last 6 years, as supplies in parts of the southeast remain scarce, even as the Colonial Pipeline resumes normal operations after being shut down by a ransomware attack. The national average was $3.04 on Monday, jumping 8 cents over the last week. Prices are expected to remain higher ahead of the Memorial Day weekend. This is USA Radio News. A wildfire continues to burn in the mountains near Los Angeles. Lance Pry reports.
A brush fire in Topanga Canyon, California, gained strength Sunday as about 1,000 residents remain under mandatory evacuation orders. At least one water-dropping helicopter from Ventura County had been helping with the firefight. LA Fire Department says the dense vegetation is very dry and has not burned in 50-plus years. The Palisades fire has been deemed suspicious. Arson investigators identified one individual who was detained and released. Investigators then detained a second suspect and were questioning them Sunday evening. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
One of the individuals questioned about the blaze was arrested later on Monday. Los Angeles Fire Department officials say the man was detained Sunday and was being treated for smoke inhalation, but did not release the suspect's name or any further details about the investigation. About 500 firefighters are trying to control the blaze that is currently 23% contained. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Joins us, and she's written a couple of books, Daddy, This Is It, Being With My Dying Dad, Journey's End, Death, Dying, and the End of Life, It Is What It Is, Learning to Live with My Brain Tumor. Julie, thanks so much for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the first one. What's it like being with a dying father?
Well, of course, I can't make generalizations about that, but in my specific case, it was a great privilege, and it was a transforming experience for me. My father was able to be very conscious during the dying process, and he did things. He led us through the process with great intention to create peace and to leave a lasting, loving impression, and that is exactly what he did.
Yeah, you and I talked off the air, and you said your father was a retired social worker, and he was prepared for death. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think that his social work background helped him to go through the stages. I mean, he like everyone who learns that they're going to die from a terminal disease, he felt the full range of emotions. I was with him when he was profoundly sad, when he was angry. And when I say angry, he was angry because he felt that he was still full of life and a longing to live. He was 87 when he died. He was 84 when he learned that he was going to die of this cancer. So he was very active in every way, mentally. He was a writer. He had written a book of his own memoirs, and he was, consistently working on those things. He was also going blind, so he was an incredible man, and obviously I'm a fan, you know. So he was a very special dad, one of the most profound things that occurred for us as a father and daughter is that he asked me to come close to him, and he started to tell me, you know, how special I was to him as his daughter, his one and only Julie. Now, he had four children, and I understand, I learned through them later, he did this with each one of us, but he would go on and say, you know, what was so special about that relationship with each of us. And he said, you know, God is love, and love never dies. I will live on because my love will always be with you. And he would say things like, you know, if ever you want to be near me, all you have to do is think of me. I will be there. And honestly, that's how I feel about him. You know, he's with me all the time. I can feel him patting me on the back right now because his parting words meant so much and created such peace. And he wanted us to know that he himself was at peace. Yeah. But when I say that he was prepared, he consciously prepared for his death and the peace that he would have around that by engaging each of his children and the grandchildren that he was able to meet with in that last week or two to let each of us know that he was at peace. And so I was with him in the very moments that he died, and it was quite an experience, one I am grateful for. I'm not happy that, you know, he had to leave this earthly plane when he did, but I am happy that I got to be with him at that time.
Yeah, wow, what a great tribute to him. And then I love that you have a book with a co-author, Victoria Brewster, Journey's End, Death, Dying, and the End of Life. And in this, because we don't talk about this enough, you talk about the real life issues, circumstances. You talk about how to deal with it, what are the resources that are out there. And you give a resource. So you talk about that end-of-life topics. A lot of people avoid them. That is so true. And I think that's something that obviously you saw with what you just described to us. And so what do you hope people take away from reading this book?
Journey's End is a compilation of over 50 different contributors' pieces in the book. So it's an anthology. And you described it very well. It's I think of this book in a number of ways. One of the ways is that it could be used as sort of like a textbook, a way of training people in a way to expose them to all different circumstances around people losing their loved ones, and also to know where they can access a great variety of resources that are important to people who are with their own dying loved ones, or who would like to help others that they're close to make it through those times in a well-supported way. So the book is that's one of the uses I could see for it, that people who are learning how to be volunteers or nurses, doctors, other support workers who work with the dying and the bereaved, they can use this book as a great tool. I also see it as just one of those great books to have on your own bookshelf that you could look to at any time for comfort, for information about things that individuals can do, even if they're not professionals in this field of supporting the dying and the bereaved. It's just a wonderful resource. The stories, I grew so much through the process, excuse me, of putting this book together because of all the things that it exposed me to. And on a very deep level, I feel connected to every one of the contributing writers. And it was a good process for me, too. I wrote more chapters than anybody else in the book. Victoria also, my co-author, she wrote several more chapters than the other contributors. And those chapters meant a great deal to me to be able to either research a topic that I was writing about in the book or to just put my own experiences into the chapters.
Yeah, and then we go from that, and what a and like you said, just have on your bookshelf, what a great reference to go to look to pick up and read some of the pieces there, and then you've got it is what it is, learning to live with my brain tumor. Tell us about that.
Well, it wasn't long after the Journey's End was published that I started to lose my eyesight in my right eye. It was like a black curtain was just creeping up over my field of vision. And I won't go into all the details that led to it being discovered, but we found that I have a brain tumor, and it's in a very serious location. It's not a cancerous tumor. It's a benign tumor. It's called a meningioma, but it's right at the base of the skull, which I didn't know this until I found out about the tumor. The base of your skull is actually right behind your eyeballs. That's what the doctors refer to as the base of your skull. The base sits right there on top of your nose, and this tumor was right between my eyes, sort of, it's about the size of an eyeball as well, sort of like a third eye behind my two eyes. And anyway, when we found it, everybody urged me, everyone of the medical professionals I was dealing with urged me to quickly do something about this. I needed to make a decision about what I was going to do so that I didn't lose any more eyesight. And the thing is, the location was so serious that decision was very difficult for me, and the discovery process was a long one. It took me about 9 months to investigate all the options and finally come to a decision. And so this book that I wrote was a journal of my experience, and it has all kinds of, most of the chapters are about a page long, you know, how I found out and, you know, how I went through the process of making a decision. And I feel that one of the values of this book, other than the occasional humorous passages that are in there, there are a few of those, is that it could be meaningful to anyone who might be facing a serious choice that they need to make, that they've had a diagnosis of whatever medical decision, but it's up to them to make the choice about what they do next. And so in the way that I go through that process, it might, in its own way, coach another person through making a difficult decision about what to do about their own medical condition. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm very happy with the decision I made, and my eyesight is fully restored, and I won't give away the ending of the book, which tells you what I chose.
Wow. Great news. Great news to hear that, for sure.
Yes,
you can get,
yes.
You can get all three books on Amazon. Julie Sager, Nierenberg, thank you so much for coming on. I love the journey, in a sense, that you share with everybody, how you take us through your dad, then all the other stories of other people, and then, of course, your own struggle and how you got through that and what happened. And as you said, you're not giving away all the details, but you really talk about it very openly. And I think it's a great resource for so many people who get diagnosed with a brain tumor or other things and don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I do hope that it will be of some use to someone, and if nothing else, it was useful to me.
There you go. Yep.
You know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's time to
invade the man cave.
Oh yeah, once again we're in the man cave and we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. That's unusual, right? What's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to be back with the Packers or not? In all seriousness, a lot of you have sent me emails about the Packers are idiots if he's not given an extension. Why did they let it go to this? And then there's a couple of you that have emailed me about, geez, I wish my team could get Aaron Rodgers, like San Francisco. Too late for that. All right, so we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers just briefly, but the big story is the Patriots, right? Because who's going to be their quarterback? And veteran quarterback Brian Hoyer is set to re-sign with the Patriots, supposedly. That was a big story that broke earlier in the day, starting off the week with a bang in New England. So you got to think Cam Newton, a 2021 first-round draft choice, Mac Jones, and third-year veteran Jarrett Stidham. Stidham is also on that list. So, yeah, crowded house. Hoyer was taken as a free, you know, he did a free agent visit with the Jets earlier in the offseason. He was going to be the possible number two to number two overall pick, Zach Wilson. But before you know it, you know, here you go all of a sudden, and you got Hoyer, who is definitely an insurance policy, a solid backup quarterback. If you look at, you know, if you look at Hoyer and you look at what he's been able to do as a backup, and he's insurance. I mean, he's insurance for Coach Bill Belichick, and it makes sense. And Belichick has declared Newton the top option right now, Cam Newton, but he leaves the door open for everybody else. So he's basically telling them it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge for the starting role is what he's saying, and somebody would have to play better than Newton does. But it's interesting because Hoyer played for the team in three different time periods, from 2009 to 2011, 2017 to 2018, that one year, and then 2020. Who says you can't go back home again? Who says you can't go back to a team again? So it's interesting, and there's been a lot of chatter about that, as you can imagine, in Boston about who's going to be that starting quarterback, especially coming off of a year where Tom Brady was so successful with Tampa Bay. All right, so the other thing that's interesting, and it's interesting to me because my brother lives very near this house, but Miami Marlins CEO Derek Jeter sold his Tampa Bay, sold his mansion to Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback Tom Brady, because he had been renting it. So you know what he sold it for? I wonder if he gave him a discount. I've been by this house on a bicycle. It's on Davis Island. It's right smack across from Tampa. $22.5 million. So he didn't sell it. I thought he sold it to Tom Brady because that's how the headline looks, and I just got a text from somebody. No, it's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady is looking for a new place to rent because his kids are complaining about the heat, or at least the little girl is. So instead, that house sold. It's 7 bedrooms, 8 baths, and it was sold heading into the weekend. That's a record. It was listed, though, at $29 million. So, again, not Brady. He was renting the mansion. It was erroneously reported at first that he had bought it, but he didn't. He wants to go rent another place. You know, Jeter bought the property, for any real estate people, for $6.3 million. $6.3 million. Of course, he added things to it and all that, but that's a pretty, you know, even do the years, do the math, do the upgrades. That's a pretty sweet profit, I would say, right? Don't you think? I think that's pretty nice. The rest of us, poor schlumpadinkas, if we have a house, are thinking, oh, can you imagine? What if you could get 200 profit on top of that? What if you could get 150? I know somebody who, they thought, oh, we fixed up this house, we've done everything. By the time they sold it, yeah, it was like 60 grand. That's before a chunk of taxes was taken out of it, yeah. All right, so the MVP, Aaron Rodgers. How can you talk about sports or being in any kind of a man cave, a wall man cave or whatever, and not be talking about him? Because everybody keeps talking about it. There are rumors that are swirling that he might not be a Packer in 2021. And what are the latest rumors? What are the teams that, you know, who are the teams that could possibly get Aaron Rodgers, who could sign Aaron Rodgers? I guess he's just so disgruntled with the organization, he's considering the unthinkable, leaving Green Bay. I mean, he's under contract with them. They'd have to agree to trade him. By the looks of it, they don't want to do that. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's got 3 MVP awards, 9 Pro Bowls, a Super Bowl title, you know, on and on I could go. And he's had a couple of really sweet seasons lately. So there are teams that are salivating at potentially the possibility, but again, they would have to make the trade. It would have to be up to them. So unpacking this whole thing is interesting. Coach Matt LaFleur said over the weekend he can't imagine Aaron Rodgers not being in a Green Bay Packer uniform, and he wants to do everything in his power to make sure that he stays with the Green Bay Packers. If I'm him and I see what happened in the last, you know, what, 2 years, I'm saying the same thing. Are you kidding me? I don't care what kind of deal we make. There's no way right now, today, I want to lose that arm, that the way his relationship is with most of the players on the team, etc. I mean, I don't want to break up that crew. What do they say? If it's not broke, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So scores. Let's tell you about a couple of games that are interesting. The Rangers and the Yankees. Yep, the Texas Rangers hosting the Yankees beat them 5-2, and the Rangers snapped a 6-game skid with that win. A couple of homers made a big difference in that. Ranger bats woke up. The Cubs knocked off the Nationals, so they're now 20-20. And it's a sweet win for them because it's at home. Wilson Contreras, Jason Hayward, and Javi Baez both homered off of John Lester. So there you go. It's his return to his old club as a National. And he takes the loss, but the Cubs take the win. The White Sox walloped on the road. Walloped on the Twins. I mean, the Twins are struggling, 13-26 on the season. The White Sox just lit them up. I mean, they had 18 hits. Listen, they were hitting it all over the place. The New York Mets trying to become that other team that rises again in New York. Only in the National League, they beat the Braves 3-1. Now, they've had a bunch of injuries that they've had to deal with, and a pinch hitter, James McCann, actually broke things open in the seventh inning. That's good managing, right? You pick the right time, the right moment to bring someone in, and poof. The Giants are pretty hot, the San Francisco Giants. They beat the Reds 6-3. They got six shutout innings from Logan Webb, and that made part of the difference for sure. And so that's some of the Major League Baseball scores. Major League Baseball is going and blowing, and more people are starting to show up at ballparks, and it's been pretty interesting to watch. I've watched more baseball lately, and I think later in the summer I'll be going out to more games. It's fun to go out and pull in, you know, soak in these games, and especially I'm in an area now where they have, it's cooler. You know, they have a roof they can close. Because when you're in those boiling temperatures, yeah. It's not any fun. Nope. NBA, different story, because you're down the stretch now with the NBA, and now you're talking about injuries and what's the off season going to look like for some of the teams when they miss the playoffs. Like my big friends in New Orleans, a lot of you are huge Pelican fans, and this is a big, you know, season for them. They missed the playoffs again, so that they're about retooling, and they're not the only team. And maybe not full on retooling, but thinking about what's going to happen next season, the off season certainly would be big. The voice of the NBA, one of the voices anyway, is Marv Albert. From the time I was a kid, I can remember him doing NBA games, the big premier game. So 55 years in broadcasting. Wow. He's called all kinds of sports. He certainly has a Hall of Fame career. It's his whole career is about 60 years. But his voice, I believe, is really, really associated with the NBA, because you think of the years when he was really, really big and all the Jordan years, etc. So he's retiring after the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. He's going to call the series for TNT. He's been with Turner for 22 years, 19 as an NBA play-by-play announcer. And, of course, he's known for his signature call. A lot of play-by-play guys have signature calls, and his is yes. But he's 80 next month, 80, and he's just retiring. I mean, what a career. And he's covered, like, everything from football, boxing, hockey, baseball, tennis. But I'd say NBA, NBA. And the way he called those Knicks games, the Chicago Bulls in the 90s, yeah, just incredible. All right, so I'm going to pick up the popcorn, sweep the floor, turn out the lights. That's it for the Man Cave. Thanks for listening to this version of the show, everybody. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.